Hey, Jeff Walker. It's so nice to have you here, talking to my lucky bees. You are the, can I call you the granddaddy of launching?
I got a lot of gray hair, so I guess, yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. I've got a lot of juicy questions for you about launching, but I have to confess, I really dislike launching. I hate launching beforehand. I always love it afterwards, right? Why do you think people resist launching so much?
Well, that's a great question. So first of all, there's work involved. These don't magically happen. I think people like to put that off, but I think the bigger thing is, I think that there's a lot of times it's perfectionism, this feeling that this product has to be perfect, the launch has to be perfect. I have to learn just a little bit more. I'm sure you see that in your students all the time. If I learn that one more little thing, if I then my life's going to be perfect and I'm going to finally be ready. And for some reason, people, the word you use is resistance is a great word. There's this book, I don't know if you've read it, it's by Stephen Pressfield called The War of Art. And
Yes.
he talks about resistance. And for some reason, most of us have this in us. We all have this thing that holds us back from doing our great work. And I think that perfectionism is part of it, but perfectionism is just the top layer. And really, it's just fear about putting your work out there.
Yes.
And it's and I am a perfectionist. I am a self-confessed perfectionist. And I can sit there and think about something and work on it and work on it and remake it and remake it. But what I've realized, well, I was able to break out of that because I was just in pure desperation. I was a stay-at-home dad taking care of two babies. And there's a long backstory to that, but I hadn't made any money in 5 or 6 years. And my wife said, can you please just somehow find a way to make $10,000 in a year to help support the family? And it was just desperate times, and we didn't have any money. And so that forced me into action. And I think just and that first launch, that got me moving, and I was able to keep on moving and get past that resistance. But I still struggle with it. We all do. I'm sure you do. We put ourselves out as being like we got our act together, but the reality is we all struggle. We all struggle.
Well, I think I wouldn't launch as much if it wasn't for my husband being in the business now, because he's a real completer finisher and he seems to love the energy of launching, right? And so I would never do it if it weren't for him. But he sent me this stat about, have you done something like 13 consecutive over $1 million launches? Is that the right number?
It's
That's
actually,
pretty cool.
yeah, it's actually, it's bigger than that. Because I, in the olden days, 6, 8 years ago, I used to help people with launches. So if you add in all those, I think it's like 19 or 20 consecutive. So 13 consecutive for my program. And
That's pretty cool.
it is cool. And it's become my normal now. It's not like, when I do my next launch, it's going to be at least $1 million. It's probably going to be a multi-million dollar launch. That's just
Yeah.
normal for me. I disclaimer, I don't get to keep, it's not like I keep all that money. I have partners. I have a team now. I have a big team now. We have costs. We have they're on and on, but still it's not a bad thing. And it's normal. Whereas when I started that first launch, it was $1,650. And you know what launch was the most important launch for me was the $1,650. It was
Yeah, I totally. I did my first launch in 2009. It was called the Raw Brides Transformation Plan. I had one person on that course, but I felt like a winner. I really did. And I'm really glad you said that because I hear from people, they go, I am a loser. I only had one person on my first launch. And then they stop. And for you, how did you feel like a winner in that first launch?
I did because I'd never sold anything in my life. I'd never sold, well, like when I was in the Boy Scouts, I'd sold, they do a fundraiser and you sold bags of donuts. And I sold like one bag of donuts to my parents and one bag of donuts to my neighbors. I mean, really, how hard is it to sell donuts? But I never sold anything. So to do that launch, and I think It was $1,650. Now it was, I did go with a high price. So I think it was a total of like 6 or 7 sales, but the thought that someone would buy something from me, something that I made, it was just, I couldn't believe it. And I think that was one of the most important thoughts I ever had in my life was I thought, I did that once. I can do it again. And again. Yeah. And I might even get better at it down the road. And I did get better. The next launched at 6,000 and the next at 8,000. And then I was sort of stuck in that $6,000 to $8,000 range for a while. And then I had a breakthrough to 34,000, which was more money than I'd ever made in my life in a year. And then there was one that did 106,000 and then a few more in that $100,000 range. And then it jumped up to 500,000 and then multi-million and then multi-millions. And it's just been a crazy journey.
So that's a really interesting thing where you said about the plateau, right? Because I hear this all the time. And then I always think everyone in the world has seen this. Everyone. There's no point launching this again. But I always look because Marie Forleo is a big role model for me. And I go, wow, she's had 30,000 people through her B School program. I think I can do this again, you know? So what mindset shifts did you need to make to break through of that plateau that you found yourself in?
Well, like, you know, it's been a bunch of different plateaus.
There's always a new one.
Yeah. It's been my experience of business where, you know, I did make that $10,000 in a year, but that was like unbelievable. And then my goal was to surpass my wife's salary because she was supporting the family. And so I got up there. And then the next level was 100,000. I'm there for a couple of years, and then 200,000, then 600,000. And I don't know, for some reason, it was just, I was supporting the family. That was unbelievable to me. So it wasn't like you have a job and I'm like, wow, I'm making $45,000 a year in this job and I'm plateaued. I better just quit because I'm plateaued. It was obvious that my skills were getting better, that the products I was creating were getting better, that the results I was getting for my clients was better. And I just had to figure out the next tweak. What was the next tweak? And it was always a marketing tweak. There's just some little tiny little marketing thing that I would learn and it would change everything. Like, for instance, when I went from $1,650 to $6,000, and that was about 6 months later from the first launch to the second launch, 4 times result. That's amazing result. Now, some people, maybe 6,000 doesn't get you excited. I was doing backflips at the time.
Yeah.
There's one thing I changed. And actually, Denise, I've actually never told anyone this. So this is...
yes, tell us.
Because I never really thought about this like this before. But there's one thing I changed. And that was I added in a deadline. I added, in other words, scarcity. And that's a word a lot of people don't like. It turns them off. Believe me, I think I'm one of the most abundant-minded, pat myself on the back. I think I tend to be pretty abundant minded. Sorry for the brag. I'm being American.
We like it. No, in our community, in our Lucky Bee community, we love talking about money and we try not to make it a sleazy thing. So please, like the fact that you're even sharing these numbers with us so openly is amazing and we love it. So pat yourself on the back. It's all good.
A lot of people, the scarcity, I didn't even know how to talk about it back then, but I put a deadline on it and said, you have to get it by this time or else this special deal that you're going to get is going to go away. And 4 times result.
Yeah.
And we could talk about the whole idea of a deadlines and scarcity if you want to now or later. But it's something that here's the short story is.
Yeah.
The short story is if you've got something cool, and I've been watching you. I've been watching what you're doing, and I can imagine who your community is just by watching you over the last year or so. And I imagine your folks are creating really cool things. I know you are. And so, if you're creating something that could make a real impact on someone's life, that can change their life, that can help them quit smoking, that can help them start a meditation practice, that can help them be a better parent, that can help them lower their golf score. If you've got something that's really going to impact something, either take pain away or give them more pleasure, then it's your sacred duty It is your absolute sacred duty to put it in their hands. And the way you do that is through marketing, through effective marketing. And I know that for me, I'm spectacular at procrastinating on buying stuff. I've been shopping for a new truck for 18 months. And now it's like, well, you know, the new models are going to come out pretty soon, so I'll just wait a little longer. I'll wait and wait and wait and wait. But if that salesman, if he said, you know what, Jeff, selling cars is sort of, there's a little bit of a yucky factor that, so it's probably not a good example. But if the guy said, you know, I'll give you $5,000 off, but you got to make a decision today, then I would have bought the truck 6 months ago. Yeah. And again, so a truck, not a great example, but you know, my life changed when I bought a product from Tony Robbins off the infomercial. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be here if I hadn't bought that product. And there's been other products that I bought. There's I learned about marketing. The first product I learned about marketing was called Turn Your Computer Into a Money Machine. I bought that product. If I hadn't bought that, I wouldn't be here. None of my PLF owners would be here. All the hundreds of millions of dollars of launches they did wouldn't have happened if I hadn't bought that product. So that changed my life, my family's life, my kids' life, my parents' life, my siblings' lives, all my thousands and thousands of students' lives. And Sheila Danzig was the person that sold that to me. And if she hadn't done a great job of marketing, I wouldn't have bought it. So the reality is you have to market well. And if you don't put a deadline on it, if you don't use quote unquote scarcity, you will sell literally half of what you would sell if you had that deadline. And this is empirical. I've seen it over and over. So, you know, at the end of the day, you owe it to yourself, to your family, and to your potential clients to do a really effective job of selling.
Well, that kind of answered my question, because I was going to, you know, ask about people using scarcity tactics and FOMO and deadlines, and it can come across really sleazy and unethical sometimes. But I'm the same with you. I'm motivated by deadlines. I can sit on the fence for a long time. And there are people who do it in a crappy way, and don't be that guy, you know, like that's the thing to all of us. It's like, don't do it in a bad way. Use your power for good to motivate people, not to make people feel less than or crappy. So I'm all with you on that. And I think, you know, I've just got to get okay sometimes in my mind about it, of like, you know what, people really need my work and people need your work, whoever's listening to this. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I just want to pick up on something too, because I know you work with your brother, and I've had the great pleasure of meeting John. We hung out in Washington, D.C., of all places, together doing a tour around, and he's a lovely guy. Do you work with other family members? Like, because I hear that from my community that they want to launch because they want to help their family and work with their family. So, and, you know, I just want to say to everyone listening, my hubby Mark set this call up and he messed the time up. And I said to Jeff, I was like, you can't fire your family members, right? How does that work with you? Like, is that a big motivator for you?
Well, it's funny that you met John and you haven't met me, because John's the extrovert in the family. I'm the introvert. So, you know, he gets events. I'm like, stay at home. But so this is, so like, John, my brother, is very integral for, he's both our joint venture partner. He manages that whole thing. Plus he's just sort of my strategic advisor. My wife, Mary, has been with me since she quit her job, or retired from her job, and she does all our finance and legal stuff. My son, Daniel, shoots our video. I literally think he's the best videographer in the industry. He's amazing. And I'm a proud papa, so take it with a grain of salt. But the fact is, you look at our videos and they're pretty nice.
Yeah, they're lovely.
Yeah, we tend to set the curve in the industry, and it's because of Dan. Diane, John's wife, she's not as involved, but for the first 10 years, she planned our events. So she's our complete event planner. Now she plans our high-end mastermind events. My my daughter, Joan, she isn't in the business, but she's been pulled in a few times, like where we've had just crazy customer service time. So we've got a lot of family in the business. And
that's really cool.
I mean, it's great. And it does add complications. I mean, because you can't fire your husband. it absolutely does add. And especially once you start building your team and you add other people, it just adds, it does add some cross currents and add some complications, but it's also fantastic. It's fantastic.
So what you're saying is, because my kids are at the moment, they're 1.5 and 3.5. It's like, I need to start training them. What gaps can I fill in the company in the future?
You know, sweetest family memories is, so my product launch formula, and when someone buys, we always send out postcards to everyone that buys. It's just a thank you postcard. There's no sales. It's just thank you. Literally it says thank you on it. And yeah. So 2005 was the first time I ever launched Product Launch Formula. And at that time, the team was me and Mary, my wife. That was it. And it was a $600,000 launch. So we were stretched really thin on that. But then I had all these postcards printed up. So then a couple days after the launch, we sat on our living room floor and like we had the four of us, you know, my two kids, Mary and I, and one of us, like two of us were addressing it. One was putting the stamp on, one was putting it in the box. And it was just an assembly line with the whole family for a couple of hours and went through all of these postcards. And it was just a really sweet time.
That's really cute.
Yeah. They were young then. They were, I don't know. Yeah.
Cause that's exactly what I've just been doing in the last couple of days. But I've been handwriting them on. I was like, oh, I should have got that bit printed and then just wrote everyone's name on it. But my kids are too young to join the assembly line on that. But I just want to ask, you mentioned that you're an introvert. I am a massive introvert, which nobody ever believes because I mean, look at the technology that we have, right? In pre-internet, we would have just been hiding in our rooms. Now we've got the technology to broadcast and help so many more people. But I did want to ask a question about your role in your launches now compared to, I'm guessing at the start, like everyone, when you start, you're doing everything, you know, like I was writing the sales page and Googling HTML and then doing custom service and doing everything. So just, I'm guessing you did that, but what's your role in your launches now?
Yeah. The last 2 or 3 years have been a real journey of building, growing our team. So at the beginning, it was just me and then Mary helped out with customer service. So that was the beginning. And then we added Betty on customer service. Then John joined the team in 07. And we've grown and we're close to 20 people now. And we're going to grow from there. Now, really my role, the dream is to be having me work in my absolute genius zone. And my genius zones are teaching, creating in the product. So it's product and then the marketing and being like the on-camera talent. That's a funny word.
Yeah. You can't outsource it, right? With a puppet.
Yeah, no. So I'm in front of the camera and then I still do a lot of the email all the email copy, but a lot of it we tend to recycle from one launch to the next. It's largely like we'll tweak them every time, but it's largely we're using it, the emails over and over. And then at the highest level, connecting with joint venture partners. So John does a lot of that. And I also, as we get into the launch, I'll start doing that as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because I guess I'm trying to get into that space now of saying to my team, hey, everything else can pretty much be done by you guys. The only, like, I have to turn up. I can't outsource this. As I said, there's no Denise puppet. But at the start, guys listening, you're doing everything, right? And then you can just add people in and you can work more and more in the things that you love to do. And you can evolve that
right
as you go. The
important thing to remember is an inherent part of the launch process is like this transparency and this relatability and the authenticity in the conversation. And because of that, your people will forgive mistakes. I mean, I make mistakes every single launch, hopefully fewer now than in the past, but still we make them, and fewer now because my team's doing stuff and I'm not doing stuff that I'm not good at, you know, like, some of the mistakes I've made are just ridiculous. But I've got this big platform now, and thousands, we're about to go into this launch workshop, which is my free training. I've had almost 1 million people go through that over the years. So I'm on a big stage now. So we have a certain level of professionalism that we try to hit, and the team helps with that. But 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when my platform wasn't so big, then it wasn't, it was like off Broadway, or it's off Broadway. You know, you can make a few mistakes and it's okay. It's endearing. And even now, at the level I'm at, these mistakes are still endearing. People love, they feel like they're inside. If they see some mess up, and they'll write in and they'll tell you, and then you have a conversation with them. But the thing is, one thing I teach this over and over and over, I'll never get away from this, is the idea of baby steps. You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to know the 100th step. You don't need to know what you're going to do at the end of the launch, at the end of your sales video. You don't need to know. You just need to know what to do next, the next step. And just figure it out as you move along. And just get into action right away. And take that for next step, and then the next step will appear. So I don't know, Denise, have you ever played golf?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So I'm not a big golfer, but back when I was a teenager, I worked at a golf course, so I played some golf for $1.50 an hour. And what I noticed is that you could take Denise, if you've never played golf in your life, we could put you on the first tee where you hit the ball, and you're going to hit a ball 400 yards away. You're going to try to put in a hole this big, a ball that big. And it seems unlikely that you could conceivably hit that ball over, and do this, move that ball 400 yards. And the first swing you take, you might hit the ball. It might actually go backwards. It might go perpendicular, or it might go five feet and stop. But I guarantee you, by your 10th or 11th or 12th shot, you'll hit it in the hole. Now, compared to a pro might do it in 4 shots. But just by gradually course correcting, hitting that ball and hitting that general direction, and it might be that way or it might be that way, but it's sort of in that direction, and gradually course correcting each time. And by the last time, the ball's going to be this far from the hole, and you're going to be able to get it in, and boom, it's in. And that's the way, that's what life is. And that's certainly the way business is. No one's perfect at the start. You got to get into action.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? People sometimes think they want hundreds of people in their first ever launch, in their first course. You don't need that. You got to have the space to make your mistakes, right? You know, that's having one person on my first course. I needed to figure out the tech, and I needed to do all the stuff, and I learned so much from it. But I do have one final question, if you've got time, because I've heard you talk about, you've launched because you had a big goal. You wanted to buy a house, which is what Mark and I did last year. You had a tax bill to pay. And I love that, right? Because I'm motivated myself by big challenges. It's part of my personality. Now that let's face it, you've created a ton of success. I'm guessing you're a pretty wealthy guy. What do you launch for these days? Do you have still a big burning desire or a goal? Or do you have to create one for you to be motivated? Or is there some other motivation?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I had this set of goals when I started, which was, first it was $10,000 in a year. And then it was my ultimate dream. And I actually sat down when I first started the business. Someone told me to do this. Sit down and write the biggest goals you can think of. Just create this list. The biggest that you can conceive of that are possible for you. My biggest at that time was $100,000 in a year for income, and to be able to do this certain vacation with my family, and be able to have this fancy computer and a few other things like that. And then I hit it. And then naturally the goals got bigger. And then at one point I just had this one launch that it was in 2008, and it did $3.7 million in 34 hours. And at that time it was like, I looked at a list and I didn't just get every goal, but I obliterated every goal. And it's an interesting thing. You might have had this happen, or if not, it will happen soon, where you hit every goal that you set. And you would think you would be ecstatic, but it's an uncomfortable place. Mm. And I know I've met a lot of people that have gone through this. It's like, you're like, okay, what what am I here for now? What's next? What's it all about? And it is uncomfortable. And I went through a year of trying to figure out what it was all about. And at the end of the day, I have this catchphrase. It's going to sound super egotistical, but it's the future of all humanity. I think that the people that I'm helping are people that are bringing their wisdom out into the world, and they're teaching, and they're becoming leaders, and they're becoming entrepreneurs, and they're building businesses, and they're creating jobs, and they're helping people. I think they are the future of humanity. And what my teaching and training does, it just helps them create, start their businesses and build their businesses. And so I'm in it for the impact. I do, you know, I've made a lot of money. I continue to make a lot of money. Yeah, I don't mind. It's great to make a lot of money. I can have unbelievable flexibility. I don't have to think about purchases. I don't even look at price tags. So that's all great. And again, I know I've sounded like an American braggart here, but that's what it is. I can't remember the last time I looked at the price of something really, like literally. But that's just, I've got enough where I could retire. I could just walk away right now. But I love that impact. And I love when I have someone write into me and tell me about the results they made. I have John Gallagher, sort of like my poster child. He was on food stamps when he got, you know, when he bought my training, and he had two young kids. He was working at a nonprofit, and now he's got a multi-million-dollar business. More importantly, he's got a team of, I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7 people, and he's helping thousands of people. He teaches people about edible and medicinal plants and herbs, how to go in your backyard and pick stuff and make food and drinks, and he'd still be on food stamps.
Yeah.
And I got, that's just one out of dozens and dozens of stories like that. And I just get so much fulfillment out of that. Out of helping them and then watching them help other people.
Yes. I love it. Yeah. Thank you. And I really feel that, you know, I feel your sincerity in your heart, and I've watched, you know, I've been a student for a couple of years now, and I just want to say thank you too, because I don't follow a lot of men, to be honest, in the industry much anymore. I'll be really honest about that. But you know, I know that you just do, everything you do is just with such heart, and I really appreciate it. And I want to tell people about your free workshop that's open right now. And for those of you who want to go check that out, it's at denisedt.com/Jeff, JEFF. You said 1 million people have gone through this training. That's really cool. What are people going to learn, just to finish up?
They are going to learn how to launch their products, their services there. It could be online. It could be offline. Most of my students are online. The great majority of them are doing it online. It could be a book. It could be a course. It could be a webinar. It could be a coaching. It could be just landing clients. But really, how to launch, because there's this phrase, build it and they will come. It was, you know, it's an American film from long ago. And some people think that they just, when I build my website and I build this product and I make this, finish my ebook, then my life's going to be all beauty and grace. But unless you launch, you can't show up slowly and survive. Because yeah. What happens is you put all that time into your product, and then you put it out there, no one buys it, and then you're just worn out, you're depressed, and you just go and hide. You have to start strong. And marketing into an event.
And I always tell my more woo sisters, because obviously in my community, we love the woo-woo stuff. And I say, you know what? Marketing is manifesting as well. Marketing is manifesting your clients. And you are a co-creator with the universe when you go into marketing and meet the universe halfway. So I've been through the workshop. I went through it last year. I loved it. And I know it's not up all the time. It actually made me watch it, because you had a deadline on it, right? So that's a little sign for everyone. Go to denisedt.com/Jeff to watch the free workshop. It's not open all the time. You've got to watch it. I actually watched it last year when I would jump on my rebounder while I was watching it, and I kept on stopping to pause you so I could write notes, because it was so good. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your wisdom and insight, and thank you for being such a great light in the world as well.
Thank you. Great talking to you.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.